Our children bring in sharing Thanksgiving bags, and these bags represent a gift from us to the community. It's one of the many ways in which we have a connection with our community and with our neighborhood. And so this morning is the day we're going to be doing that. We're going to begin with singing a few of the songs that are more familiar to the children, and we will sing those hymns until all the bags are up here. So we're going to begin with Jesus Loves Me. Jesus loves me,
this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sin, let his rebels outcome in. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so. Jesus, take this heart of mine, make it pure and holy one. On the cross you died for me, I will try to live for thee. Yes, Jesus loves me, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me, the Bible tells me so.
Jesus loves the little children,
all the children of the world. They're in yellow, black, and white. They are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world.
This little light of mine,
I don't know that I'm going to let it shine. This little light of
God is so good. I'm glad that you're able to come out and be with us this morning. If you're visiting with us this morning, you are our honored guest. If you'll notice on the pew in front of you, there's a QR code. We use those just to track information concerning attendance. If you would be so kind as to log in your attendance and the fact that you're here, give us some basic information. We would like to do some follow-up with you if you're a visitor to further encourage you to attend our services here. I thought this morning before we entered into worship service during this time of Thanksgiving that it might be worthwhile to remind ourselves on what we have most to be thankful for. And for some during this season, it's going to be extremely difficult. You don't have to drive too far to see catastrophe and disaster. People are hurting, and the holiday season is going to be particularly difficult for families this year in this particular area due to loss, not only of property, but of life. Just remember what we have to be thankful for first and foremost this morning, and I thought we might consider some scripture from Galatians chapter 3 as we enter into worship this morning. I'll be reading from the King James, verses 26 through 28, and then we'll enter into our worship services. For we are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male or female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Our number one reason for Thanksgiving. Let's enter into worship.
Would you stand, please, as we sing?
We will sing number 730, and it will be immediately followed by 749. The battle belongs to the Lord, and I would like us to stand as we sing both of these hymns.
We declare that the kingdom of God is here. We declare that the kingdom of God is here. Fear, the battle belongs to the Lord.
Seated, please. We will now go to our Father in prayer.
Lord, thank you so much for this day you've given us. This time that you've given us to be together as a people to worship you this morning, we pray that the things that we sing about, the things we think, the things that we do are pleasing and acceptable worship in your sight. Lord, we are thankful this week, Lord, for so many things, and we are privileged to be in a nation that is blessed, that has many things, that doesn't know hunger like other places, that doesn't know fear like other places, that doesn't know war as in other countries. And we are so blessed as a people, Lord, and we pray that your hand be upon our people here in this nation, and that you could be with our leadership and help us to make decisions that might help peace to prevail, and help us to share those things that we've been given and those things that we've been blessed with the rest of the world, with the primary blessing of, for all of us, being Jesus Christ. Help us to spread Christ to the world, Lord. We thank you so much for the church that meets here, Lord. And we know that the brethren around the world face so many obstacles and so many challenges to their faith, Lord, and the churches all over the world. We pray that you can bless them and that you can minister to them and oversee their work as well, that the rest of the world may know Jesus, Lord. We pray that we can be an integral part of this as well. We thank you for the members that meet here in their hearts and the many ministries that go on and all the pieces of the community that are touched by the love of Christ and by your love, Lord, by the things that we do, whether it be in the prison work or with the children or with just the hungry in the community, Lord, the things that we can give them. We pray that those things might be done to glorify you, Lord, not to make us feel good about ourselves, but to make others feel good about you, Lord. We pray that you'll be with our ministers that are here and the works that they oversee. You pray that you give them the wisdom to say the right things and do the right things and to be effective servants of yours, Lord. We pray that we take heart during this time. We know the flooding has been difficult for so many, Lord. There are people right now that are practically living outdoors, we know, in Western North Carolina. We pray that your hand be upon them. We pray that you can give them comfort as you can. Help them to get indoors soon and to stay warm and to stay fed, and help us to contribute in any way that we can to help these people, Lord. We have, during this time, we have to be thankful. There are so many that are hurting with physical needs. We pray that we can help any way possible, and the church can share their love with them. We pray that you'll be with so many in our congregation right now that are hurting. We know we have so many members that have got cancer, that are overcoming cancer, that have other health problems that ail them all the time, Lord. We pray that you will watch over them. We pray that you can give them peace and you can give them healing if it be your will. We pray for comfort for those who have lost loved ones. We pray especially for the Atkins family and those who love Lori. We pray you be with them and give them comfort as you can, Lord. We pray that you would be with our nation as a whole, that peace may prevail worldwide. We know that we are in a time of turmoil diplomatically, Lord. We pray that our leaders might make good decisions during this time and not escalate tensions, but to de-escalate. We pray that cooler heads may prevail and that the loss of life may be minimal, Lord. We pray that we can advocate Jesus Christ in all the ways that we act and the things that we say and the things that we do within our own community here, Lord, and help us to be examples of Christ throughout our time here in life and through all that know us, Lord. We pray that you will forgive us, Lord, when we fail you. When we have sin in our lives, we pray that we can acknowledge it, that we can repent from it, and that we can turn back to you, Lord. We pray that you will give us the strength to do these things. Lastly, Lord, we'd like to pray for the speaker this hour. We pray that you be with him and those things that he has prepared to say and to share with us. We pray that the things that we think about might be your things, Lord. The words may be your words, and that we can truly take them to heart and help apply them to our lives. We pray these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.
If you're using the hymnal this morning, you may wish to mark 927. 927, Why Keep Jesus Waiting? And that hymn will serve as a means of encouragement this morning. And then before the scripture reading and the lesson, we will sing In Christ Alone.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my life, my strength.
If you'd like to take your children to that, you can do so now. The scripture reading this morning will be taken from the book of John, chapter 6, verses 53 through 59. That's John 6, 53 through 59. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum.
We have such a great gift given to us in prayer, and around us, we've prayed for a lot of you in recent months or years. Maybe there's an occasion you're thinking about when your name was on the prayer list, and here we are. God has helped us in many ways as a result of our prayers. And so when anybody asks me, "Will you offer a prayer for this person or that or for me?" I'm happy to do that. That is a high priority for any Christian. And this morning we've been asked again to do just that. Received a request from John Bannister. Charles McNabb also relayed it to me, that one of the inmates at Unicoi County Jail for Women, who is now a sister in Christ, is going to be facing surgery for a stomach infection. Her name is Lakin Renfro. We want to say a word of prayer for Lakin. Also, one of the officers there, Crystal, is facing some health issues, and our prayers have been asked for her. And recently, we were praying for Jim Bob Moore. Jim Bob had a pacemaker installed just not many days ago, and this morning he is out at his post welcoming people into the building and just showing great improvement. So we want to thank God. Linda said, be sure to thank everyone for their prayers, visits, calls, whatever. And what a great church family they have, Linda said. Amen to that. So let's pause for a minute and go to God in prayer for these. Our God and our Father, we are so thankful for everything you do for us. And we know it's so much more than we even realize. Your blessings are abundant. Greatest of all is the blessing of your Son, Jesus, our Savior. And Father, we gather here to praise you, to worship you, and to petition you for those things that we need and for those people that we love. Father, we're so thankful that you have blessed Jim Bob with the results that he has had. We pray that everything now will level out and stabilize. He's been through a lot, but he's doing so much better, Father. We're thankful for that. And Father, we just pray that you'll be with him and help him to be strong and to continue giving you the praise and glory. We want to pray for our sister in Christ, Lakin. She has surgery scheduled very soon. Father, we pray that you'll bless her and in the meantime, give her comfort and peace and help her to know that all is well. And for Crystal, the officer there, and we pray that whatever her problems may be, Father, that you'll watch over her and guide her and bless her. Father, there's just so many that we need to be asking blessings for, but you know them, Lord. Even without our asking, you know the needs. And Father, we just pray, look down upon us all. We need you, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. It's such a great time of the year. Thanksgiving is maybe my favorite holiday of the year because it's just a time of joy and happiness. You don't get stressed out like you do at other holidays of the year. And to see something like this, I mean, this is amazing. If any of the young ones that carried in the groceries are still among us,
I know a lot of them went out to children's training class, but the rest of you, thank you for doing what you did, for bringing these up front, and for going with your parents to shop and to pick up these items. And for all of you adults, I know some of you don't have children at home anymore, and yet you took part in the shopping and the bringing in. And as I was picking it up for us, for Joyce and me, I was thinking, you know, each of these bags represents, by the time you add the turkey and the canned vegetables that are not in these bags, it's going to be about $25 or $30 on a good day. And I mean, all of this, that's pretty valuable. And you know, you figure all that up, that's a generous outpouring. But the real value is not in the items in the bag, it's the love that filled the bags. That's what's really valuable. And that's why I'm so proud to call Central Church of Christ my home, and you're my family, and together, look at what we can do to make a difference in this community. Praise God. God is so good to us. He's the one that is love. He's the one that teaches us to love one another, and that's why we're worshiping here today, because God is worthy of all of our devotion and all of our praise. So good to have all of you with us today. We've got visitors, as always. I have met people I had never before met, some I had met before, but we're glad you are with us today. Come back and join us anytime you can. All of you watching or listening online, glad you're with us as well. Hope that you'll come and join us anytime. All of you at the prison that will be watching this later, thank you for your encouragement when you tell us that you watch it and are benefited by it. And for everybody, it's just a great day to be together. Today, we're going to meet again at 6 o'clock, Lord willing. And at that time, we're going to talk about the lamp of the body. The lamp of the body. That sounds odd, but that's something Jesus talked about on two different occasions. And so we want to understand, what do you mean, Lord? The eye is the lamp of the body. That will be our lesson for this evening. I really hope you'll come out and join us for that. It will encourage me to see you here, and it will encourage a lot of other people. It may encourage you to be here. So come out and join us as we worship God together. Now get your Bible out. Let's dig into the Word. We're going to find some wonderful things in God's Word that will help us, as they always do. And let's get right into that now. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 19, God gave instructions for Passover, but here in this verse, he's talking about the Feast of Unleavened Bread. We don't know as much about that typically, but it was part of the Feast of Passover. It was kind of a continuation of the Feast of Passover that would last 7 days. And part of the requirement was this in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 19, for 7 days, no leaven is to be found in your houses. If anyone eats what is leavened, that person will be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a sojourner or a native of the land. No leaven is to be found in your house. That was serious. And Jews, even today, will look at that and they'll say, we got to be careful about this. And that's why I have a picture of a feather up here. Let me read an excerpt from a website that is Jewish. And here's what they say about the Feast of Unleavened Bread. The day before the feast, Jewish tradition calls for a search through the entire house to remove all leaven. Every cupboard, drawer, nook, and cranny is examined, and some families have even used a feather to clean out every last crumb. That's taking it seriously, isn't it? And that's how we ought to take God very seriously. Well, we're not observing Passover. We're not observing the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That was another holiday for another covenant. But as we approach this nearly sacred holiday called Thanksgiving, I think maybe we ought to get out our feathers and really search our lives and find blessings that maybe we have overlooked. Because they're there. Do we recognize them? Do we thank God for them? And that's why we're talking this morning about thankful for the blood. That may sound odd, thankful for the blood. But when you realize what blood does for the human body, it's an amazing thing. God has given us a great gift. And without blood, of course, there is no life. We know that. But on a higher scale, the blood in our bodies is going to remind us of an even greater blood that does even greater things. It's the blood of Christ. So as we think about what am I going to be thankful for this year as we approach this holiday of Thanksgiving, let's talk about the blood. Let's think about that together. I hope you got your Bible with you. Open it up with us. Let's study together from God's Word. First of all, when I talk about being thankful for the blood, let's be thankful for the power to cleanse. Thankful for the power to cleanse. I found this article on the website of the National Institutes of Health talking about what blood does in our bodies. It says every day the two kidneys, that's typically what we got in our bodies. I know some people don't. You got at least one though, probably. The two kidneys filter about 120 to 150 quarts of blood. Now that's every day, that's what the two kidneys are doing, filtering 120 to 150 quarts of blood each day. Kidneys work at the microscopic level. The kidney is not one large filter. Each kidney is made up of about a million filtering units called nephrons. Each nephron filters a small amount of blood. Now, all of that is beyond most of us. Now, those of you that are medically inclined, you know what this is all about. You should be up here talking about it. But simply said, it's filtering our blood. We know about filtering oil in our cars. The oil filter needs to be cleaned, you know, every several thousand miles. And if you don't, bad things are going to happen. Same with the blood. Well, let's go further with this. And I found this on the website of WebMD.com. And this says why it's important that we have this filtering capability. It says blood through veins, arteries, and capillaries reaches every cell of the human body. There's over 60,000 miles of blood vessels in the average human body. And blood takes the body's waste products, including carbon dioxide, away from the tissues. This is necessary. Necessary to sustain life and promote the health of all parts of the body. And all of that simply says we need blood in our bodies. If you were to put a tourniquet on one of your limbs, I don't recommend that. Please don't do this at home. But if you were to put a tourniquet on a part of your body and just leave it there, eventually that part of the body is going to turn black and die because poison is not being removed from that part of the body. We depend on blood to cleanse. And of course, you know, that applies to the blood of Jesus. That's what the Bible teaches us over and over again. Let's go to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 24, here we're going to read about a Roman governor named Pilate. You know Pilate, of course. He was the one in charge of examining Jesus. He had the power to say, this man can be released or this man must die. He had that power. And he wanted to release Jesus. And yet he was pressured by the Jewish crowds and the leaders of the Jews and finally gave in and said, crucify him. And then he did this, which was really pretty pathetic. Listen to what it says in Matthew 27, verse 24. So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water. He took water, excuse me, and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves. Now think about that. Pilate had just done something terrible. He had said, an innocent man, I find nothing wrong in this man. He said that two or three times. And now he's going to turn this man over to the mob and say, go ahead and kill him. And that's what happened with Jesus. And Pilate thinks, by taking a basin of water and washing my hands, I am free of the guilt of that. I am innocent of this man's blood. But it didn't work. He is guilty of Jesus' blood, as all of us are, but he could have done something differently. He chose not to. Standing before him, though, was the one who had the power to remove guilt. And we see that if you go back into the previous chapter of Matthew, chapter 26 and verse 28. Matthew 26 and verse 28, and Jesus, when he was instituting the Lord's Supper, said this about the cup that he was about to give to all of them. "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." Now that is effective. The blood of Jesus Christ, and we'll talk more about that as we go further, but the blood actually does remove guilt. I've done something wrong, I shouldn't have done it, but now I've got guilt upon me. Can anything remove it? Jesus said, "My blood can." And this cup that you're about to drink will represent that blood and how it forgives people, forgives many the sins that they have committed. John put it this way in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. Again, a very familiar passage. We love this verse. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, where John said, "If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sins." The blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sins. And we've been told often that in the Greek, that word for cleanses is in the present tense, which, unlike English, also has the continuing sense about it, which would say it continues to cleanse us, just like the blood that is flowing through my body right now or the blood in your body right now. If it is flowing, it is continually cleansing. That's the blessing we have when we have the blood of Christ applied to us. Now, for the Jews, Passover was a memorial. Passover was something that happened one time. It happened in the past. It was simply a memory for them. For us, as we gather and partake of the Lord's Supper every Sunday, we're remembering something that happens here and now. Yes, Jesus' blood was shed 2,000 years ago, but it still has power to cleanse us. And what an amazing gift that is to the world, to see Jesus hanging on the cross, dying on the cross as a common criminal. It looked like a colossal failure of the Messiah. And yet 3 days later, when he arose from the dead, that assessment was wrecked. That assessment was proven false, because Jesus really is the Son of God, and his blood really does have that power to forgive us of our sins. So, thankful for the blood? Absolutely. I have sins that need to be cleansed. You have sins that need to be cleansed. Let's not forget to be thankful for that. And secondly, as I think about being thankful for the blood, I think about being thankful for the power to nourish. Thankful for the power to nourish. Now, again, that may sound odd. Blood, nourishment? Yes, absolutely. I'm going to read an excerpt from a book called In His Image, written by Dr. Paul Brand. And he talks there about the marvel of blood and how it does just this. It helps to nourish our bodies. He said, imagine a tube that reaches every person in the world, some large tube through which items pass. And he says it this way, 8.2 billion people. Now, I've updated the number to the population of the world as it was stated last week. But 8.2 billion people have access to this tube. At a moment of need or want, they simply reach into the tube and seize whatever products suits them. Somewhere far down the pipeline, a replacement is manufactured and inserted. Such a pipeline exists inside each one of us. Inside each one of us, servicing not 8 billion, but 100 trillion cells in the human body. An endless supply of oxygen, amino acids, nitrogen, sodium, potassium, calcium, magnesium, sugars, lipids, cholesterols, and hormones surge past our cells, carried on blood cell rafts or suspended in the fluid. And again, we don't think about that, do we? We think about putting food in our mouth, but how does that food benefit the cells that are at the tip of my little finger? How does that happen? It's by blood. Blood carries the nourishment to every cell in our body. Again, what a gift that is, but even more. When you think about the power of the blood of Jesus to nourish us, the blood of Jesus nourishes us? Really? Did you hear the passage that was read to us earlier in John chapter 6? Mark read this, John chapter 6, beginning in verse 53. Let's read there through verse 57. And at first you're going to say, ew. But there's a point here to be made. John 6, beginning in verse 53, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me." Now, a lot of people have read that and they say, is Jesus saying what I think he's saying? Is he promoting cannibalism? No, no, not at all. Life is sacred to the Father. That is nowhere in the thoughts of Jesus. So what is the idea that Jesus is trying to get across? Well, let's look at it a little more closely and add one more verse from this chapter. Look again at verse 54. And notice how it's phrased there. In verse 54, Jesus said, "Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Now notice the benefits there of eating his flesh, drinking his blood. I will give him eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Now let's go back to verse 40 of that same chapter, John chapter 6. And look at what Jesus says there in verse 40. "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Same benefits mentioned there. Eternal life, raised up on the last day, and yet what is the condition there? Look on the Son and believe on him. And what he means by that is you pay special consideration of Jesus. You don't just say, well, there's Jesus, okay, let's move on. No, you're fixated on him. You're fascinated by Jesus. And you say, I want to learn more about this man. I want to live the way he teaches me to live. I want to really get into this. And as he goes on to say later in chapter 6, eat my flesh, drink my blood. In other words, believe that God came in flesh and God came in blood. David Leip, in his commentary on this passage in the Truth for Today commentary series, says this, "Accordingly, though John chapter 6 is not about the Lord's Supper, the significance of the Lord's Supper is clearly evident. The relationship of John 6 and the Lord's Supper has been summed up effectively by Bartol Klappert. John 6 is not about the Lord's suffering. Lord's Supper, rather the Lord's Supper is about what is described in John 6. In other words, when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we're reminding ourselves, this is the one I immerse myself in. This is the one I feed upon. He is my life. He is my food. He is my drink. Not that I eat his body or drink his blood literally, but instead, he is my everything. He nourishes me." And that idea of nourishment really comes through in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we often turn there as we prepare to take the Lord's Supper. But listen again to verses 28 through 30 and note the special emphasis on being nourished. Verses 28 through 30 of 1 Corinthians 11. "Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died." You've not been nourished. If you come in here and you say, okay, it's time to take the Lord's Supper, give me that piece of bread, give me that little bit of juice, let's get this over with and move on to the next thing, you'll leave here malnourished. Spiritually, you're starving. But if you take time to remember, this represents the one who gave his life for me. He loved me that much that he would die for me, and so what can I do in return for him? I need him. I need to feast on him. And therefore, I will be nourished if I observe the Lord's Supper in that way. John Piper put it this way, the Lord's Supper is a supper. We are eating and drinking. Why are we eating and drinking? Eating and drinking are for nourishing and sustaining life. And here Jesus tells us that the bread we are eating is his body, and the cup we are drinking is the new covenant, his blood. So the eating and drinking are no ordinary eating and drinking. This supper is not about physical nourishment. It is about spiritual nourishment. I need that nourishment. You need that nourishment. Christ has provided it by means of his blood. I'm thankful for this gift. It is the gift of nourishment. And finally, as we think about why we are to be thankful for the blood, I'm thankful for the power to protect. Thankful for the power to protect. Do you know what a role your blood plays in that? You know this. I mean, take yourself back 4 years ago, the early part of 2020. You remember what we were thinking? There's this terrible thing around. We're hearing it called, but before it was called COVID, it was known as the novel coronavirus. Why novel? Because it was something we'd never seen before. This virus was totally new, and that meant nobody in the world had an antibody in their blood that would fight against it. That's why so many people succumbed to it. There was no resistance to it in the body. Now, if you'd taken blood samples in this building, you know, early part of 2020, you probably wouldn't have found any antibodies for COVID. If they're taken today, I dare say almost all of us have an antibody here or there, and therefore it's not the threat that it once was. It's in the blood. The resistance to these illnesses is in the blood. The power of Christ likewise, the blood of Christ likewise has the power to protect us. And the Bible teaches that. For example, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 28. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 28, this is talking about Moses and the original Passover when the angel of destruction came through the camp, or through the land of Egypt rather, and to protect themselves. God told Moses, here's what you're to do. Take a lamb, every family, take a lamb, slaughter the lamb, take some of the blood of it, put it on the doorpost of your house. And here's what it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 28. By faith, Moses kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. And you could put the word there, protect. Because that's what the blood did. If the Lord saw the blood on the doorpost, he said, I will pass over you, and this plague will not affect your family inside. It was protection. And then you go to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 29, and now we're talking about the blood we apply to our hearts, to our lives, the blood of Christ. And he says this in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 29, how much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace? Notice what he says there about the blood of Christ. It is that by which we are sanctified. And to be sanctified is to pull away from sin more and more and to be more holy than we ever were before. And that is resistance to sin. The blood of Christ is that which sanctifies me, and therefore it protects me whenever sins come upon me and tempt me. I'm not as tempted as I once was. And when I do fall, I'm not as likely to give in to it. I'll recover from it quickly. And then Peter puts it this way in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, again talking about the power of the blood to protect. He said, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. We normally think of a ransom as something very severe, something very critical. Somebody has captured our loved one, and they will say, if you ever want to see them alive again, then pay this amount of money by this time. That's what we normally think of as a ransom, and that's kind of the idea here. Satan had captured us by enticing us to sin, and in those sins, we were going to die. And yet a ransom was paid. And what was that ransom? The precious, precious blood of Jesus Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. So the blood, again, protects us. And I need that protection. You need that protection. And as we gather to give thanks with our family, and every time we bow and give thanks to the Father, every day of the year, may we not forget to thank the Lord for that. In 1796, Edward Jenner tried something that had never been tried before. We call it now vaccination. Smallpox was a serious problem at that time, and he noticed that milkmaids, the women that were in charge of taking care of the cattle, they would develop cowpox, but then later, whenever they were exposed to smallpox, they never caught it. And he thought, what if I took some of the substance? And we'll not get too graphic about this, but he would take some of the oozing from cowpox, and he injected it into an 8-year-old boy who developed cowpox. But then later, after repeatedly being exposed to smallpox, he never developed it. He understood what we now take as commonplace and what a breakthrough that was. But it's found right here in Jesus. Jesus exposed himself to sin, and he bore the complete effects of it, not just physical death, but separation from God for a time. And now if we could just get that blood injected into us, we will be protected from sin and death. So thankful for the blood. We've talked about 3 different reasons for being thankful for the blood. We could talk about others, I'm sure. Cleansing, nourishment, protection, those are universal needs, physically and spiritually. And in Christ, we have that provided. Revelation 7, verse 14. John was given a vision of people in heaven, and they are attired in white robes. And he says, who are these people? And he was told this: these are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That's an image, of course. Sin messes up our robes. They are so spotted and soiled and stained. Can anything get them clean again? They made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That blood of the Lamb is still available for us today. Even though it's been many, many years since Jesus shed that blood, it is still powerful, it is still effective, and we come to it the same way people in the New Testament were told to come to it. Here was Saul of Tarsus. Now he knew he had made a terrible mistake in persecuting Jesus and the church that he had established. And here he was praying and fasting for 3 days and 3 nights. He had repented of his sins. He believed that Jesus now is who he claimed to be. And Ananias came in and said, why are you waiting? This is Acts 22:16. Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away all your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. That hasn't changed. And so today, if you still have sins on your account, having never obeyed the gospel, you can be thankful for salvation when you leave this building. And if as a child of God you've wandered back into sin, you know you have, you know you need forgiveness again. The plan is a little simpler then, and that is simply turn away from that sin, repent of having done it, and pray for forgiveness. God's terms are simple. They are so merciful and loving. We urge you, don't wait another moment, but come as we stand together and sing.
Seated, please.
Thank you, Tim, for reminding us of the gratitude we should have for the blood of Jesus. And as we are about to share the Lord's Supper together, we will begin this moment by singing number 325, Boundless Love.
Boundless love.
Thank you. If you'd like to go ahead and prepare the first part by exposing the bread. During the Passover, the Hebrews were separated from the rest of their world because of the God who invited the Hebrews to partake in communion with him. In Ezekiel chapter 10, we see the presence or the Shekinah of the Lord come up from the temple, leaving the temple because the Hebrews had come out of communion with him. His holiness left the temple, and it left the Israelites very open to being overrun by their enemies. During the Lord's Supper, we see our King Jesus taking a meal that was already holy and already set apart, but elevating even further by shining a new light on it, reframing it for us. And so God's presence is what elevates to holiness and gives separation from the judgment that is coming upon the world. And so in our own lives, as we experience God living in us as his temple, and we partake of his flesh and his blood, it is him in us. We're not filling ourselves with us or the things of the world. We're filling ourselves with him. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is the spirit that will give us life as we're filled with the body which was raised from the dead. Let us partake of that body now. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this body that was given for us. And Father, it is only because of this perfect sacrifice, this perfect lamb that is one without blemish, that we can have this communion with you. Father, what we bring to this communion is immoral, sinful, and yet you take our garments and you wash them white as snow. And so, Father, thank you for the body that was that propitiation that allows us to have this kind of communion with you, allowing us to be holy not on the basis of ourselves, but on the basis of what your Son did for us. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Let us continue in prayer. Father, we want to continue our prayer and we want to again say thank you. Thank you for the blood of your Son that cleanses, that protects, that sanctifies. Father, as was mentioned, without blood there's no life. We know that without the blood there's no forgiveness of sin. And Father, thank you for that life that we have in the blood of your Son. Thank you for his willingness to give of his blood so that we can be redeemed, that we can be a people set apart from the world, that when we do hear all these awful things that are going on in the world, when we see the world living a different way than what we know we're called to do, Father, thank you. Again, not of our own will, not of our own ability, but Father, because you willed to have a relationship with us, because you showed us love first, and Father, because of your goodness and your Son's goodness, Father, we thank you that we do not have to face the same judgment that the world will. And so, Father, as we partake of this, this fruit of the vine, your Son's blood, help us to remember all that it does for us. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. As I mentioned already, the elements are not those things that are intrinsically holy. It's bread, it's fruit of the vine. But because of the presence of our God, that's what elevates those elements. And so as we look at all these bags that are out here this morning, it's not the canned vegetables, it's not the mashed potatoes, right? It's not the turkey that makes this giving holy. But it's because of the holy communion that we have with a God who makes us holy and allows us to show his love to the rest of the world. And so as we consider what we have to get back to our God, consider the fact that what you give is holy because of who he is. Let's pray for our offering. Father, thank you for the ability that you provide for us. Thank you for the incomes that we have. Father, thank you for the fact that you allow us to be stewards over money, over goods. And Father, we know that ultimately we will be held accountable for that. But Father, help us to see the positive side. Help us to see this stewardship as an opportunity to show love to our community, whether it be in putting bags together and showing our community love, whether it be in helping the flood victims. Father, whether that be seeing somebody who is asking for food on the side of the street and we give in that way. Or Father, maybe it's we send a check or put money in the basket or give online. But Father, we know that you lift those elements up, that you make them holy, that you sanctify them again. Thank you for the opportunity to bring those things and lay them down at your feet. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Let us pray. Our fathers, we come before you just now at the close of another service. We're thankful for the opportunity to come out, dear God, to do what your Bible asks us to do, what your word has asked us to do in worship and service and deed. We can do that and sustain that the first church did. Pray, dear God, that the lesson that was given this morning will be applied to our lives, that we would find opportunity to be your hands, that we would reach out to those in need, spiritually, emotionally, and physically, and that we would bring them, dear God, to the truth. We would bring them to life everlasting through Christ. We have several, dear God, that have been mentioned this morning, those that are in our bulletin, our prayer list, that are hurting. We have those, dear God, who are families that are suffering because of the loss of life. We pray, dear God, your blessings upon them. Help us not to be neglectful to them in prayer and deed. We pray for the blessings of safe travel as we will soon leave this place. This prayer we offer in Christ's name. Amen. By way of announcements this morning, I'd like to ask you to please dispose of your...